This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community. Free your mind.
Sex worker, and yes, it does. In those biblical sense, I am beyond repentance. Ben Hooker, sex worker, wench, thou makes her mind. Listen up close while I take it backwards. Oh, God, begins the gal that's in me, which I want. I'm not a prostitute. Sex worker, but I can give you what you want. Sex worker, damn it.
Get some. You've tuned in to the Vixen Hour. Sex workers setting the record straight on Australia's first gay and lesbian radio station, Joy 94.9. Red Umbrella Radio.
That's right. The Vixen Hour is your weekly radio show that explores life issues and the world from a sex worker's perspective. This is your opportunity to challenge the stereotypes and prejudice that you may have about sex work and hear from the actual voices of sex workers ourselves. We are out loud and proud. This is the only community radio program in the world that is both publicly broadcasted directly to your radios and available online all the time that is 100% produced and presented by sex workers. Turn it up.
All discussions presented on Vixen Hour are made in the interest of community information and are not intended to induce any individual to seek employment in the sex industry. For more information in this area, we recommend individuals to get in contact with their local sex worker organisation. The Vixen Hour. Everyone has an opinion about sex work. Make yours an informed one.
Joy 94.9.
If at any point you would like to interact with the program, you can do so by sending us a text message on 0427 Joy 949. That's 0427 569 949. Giving us a phone call at the front desk. Say hi to Robert for me. The phone number is 1300 Joy 949. That's 1300 569 949. Or you can send me an email right here in the studio on air at joy.org.au. It would be fabulous to hear from you. We are also all over social media. If you would like to stay connected to the Vixen Hour all throughout the week, you can do so on Facebook at facebook.com/sexworkerradio. Be amazing to be socially networked to you. Hooray! And also on Twitter at Vixen Hour. That is our handle. It would be amazing to be followed by you. How are you doing on this Australia Day / Survival Day public holiday? It has been fabulous weather. The sun has gone down. It's now dark. I'm sure it's quite balmy outside. I hope you had a really good day today. So on tonight's show, we are going to be hearing from international porn star, one of the people who brought our attention to trans male sexuality, if you like, bodies. Buck Angel is here in Melbourne right now speaking at a number of events, and we thought it might be a good idea to catch up with him and have a chat with him. So right now we'll start off that interview. This is me speaking to Buck Angel. You're on the Vixen Hour here on Joy 94.9.
Joy.
Okay, so you're with Christian on the Vixen Hour here on Joy 94.9, and I'm with the amazing, hardworking man about the world now, apparently. Buck Angel. Hi, Buck.
Hi, a man about the world. It feels that way.
Well, you are all the way out here in Australia now.
That was a long trip.
Yeah. Welcome to Australia.
Thank you. So far, so good.
Yeah. Now, for people who may not be entirely familiar with Buck Angel, how would you introduce yourself?
I would say that I am a man who used to be a woman who works in the pornography business and does trans male porn.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I'm a sex advocate. I'm a motivational speaker. I'm a documentary filmmaker.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a lot of things, I think.
Yeah. And your work's very much geared towards, I guess, educating the public and making them more aware of the trans male community, trans masculine.
Partly my work is about making them aware of that, but also partly my work is about really getting people to feel comfortable with themselves. Mm-hmm. And it's not specifically about trans people.
Yeah.
It's about everybody.
Yeah.
So that's why I really consider myself an inspirational or motivational speaker.
Yeah.
Because I really feel like my life transcends just trans.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I don't really feel like I just speak for the trans community because mm-hmm. I don't really feel like a trans person.
Yeah.
I feel more like I transitioned to be male, but I didn't specifically condone to what society feels as male because the other thing is I haven't had any bottom surgery.
Mm-hmm.
So I was, I coined the phrase the man with the pussy.
Yeah.
For many years, that was like sort of like my catchphrase mm-hmm. because I feel like a man even though I still have a vagina.
Yeah. Amazing. I think when, I still replay your Tyra Banks interview every now and then. Because I think it was like one of the first, I guess, engagements with somebody like you in a mainstream forum.
Yes, yes, most definitely was. Yes.
Yeah, I'm wondering if you could describe what that was like.
Well, let me tell you about that. They wanted me on that show for many years, but they wanted to put me on the Freak Fest show, right?
Oh,
and that is another thing I really fought very hard to do, and why I started my own adult video line was because I didn't want to be lumped into the Freak of Nature, you know, video series, and I wanted to show that a trans man like myself or a man who has a vagina is normal, and it's,
yeah.
we have sex just like everybody else, and I feel like a normal, whatever that word means, person, and so I wanted to put it more on a respectful,
yeah.
you know, make it a respectful thing. That said, they wanted to continue to put me in this, you know, sort of Freak Fest thing. So I kept turning down Tyra, and one day they called me and said, no, we want to do a whole show about you, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, great, finally. I fly there, and as I'm going on stage, I look up and it says, something like sexual oddities.
You're right.
They tricked me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I got on stage with Tyra and I was so fuming mad.
Yeah, right.
I was fuming mad. I'm like, if this lady asked me one thing, I'm going off on national TV. And then she started doing it and somehow I got myself situated and I just became more professional. And she started asking me, you know, dumb questions like they do. And then she said something about, well, you don't have a penis, you have a vagina. And I'm like, yeah, I have a vagina and I like my vagina. You don't like your vagina? And her face dropped.
Yeah.
I put her on the spot.
Yeah.
It's literally one of my most favorite things I have ever done because it really says so much.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought her reaction was interesting because she was like, no.
Yeah, my vagina. No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I thought it was this really interesting moment of people consider us like the sex positive community.
Yes.
You know, perverts or freaks or oddities.
Right.
Yet we're the ones who are most comfortable with our bodies, and
yes.
it was a really telling moment when that happened on the Tyra Banks show.
That's why it's so powerful for me. That's one of my favorite things. But what's so cool about Tyra off camera? She's totally amazing, smart, really great person, and really engaged with conversation with me. But of course, on camera, she has to be her self, right? For lack of a better word, I guess. And so she did. Yeah. So really, that was really for the world. But it really shows the fact that she kept that in there. She could have edited that out.
Yeah.
I think that says a lot about her and the fact that she really showed how most women are not really, many, many women are biological cisgender women are not really attached to their vagina in that
mm-hmm.
way.
Yeah. Yeah. And certainly when you talked about, you know, not just being a trans activist, but somebody who is, you know, advocating for everyone in this sort of sex positive
yes.
Movement, if you like, I think more and more we're becoming aware of those issues around things like, you know, body shaming and,
yes.
and slut shaming. For example,
yes.
Yeah, I think a lot of your work has sort of brought a lot of that out, and you know there have been a few sort of stumbling blocks along the way.
I was just
this week I was you know watching for educational and research purposes,
totally
a lot of your porn, and you know the interviews you know pre-scene interviews where
yes.
you know you're talking about you know what it's like to fuck as a trans male person
uh-huh.
and having to sort of bridge those gaps of language and like you know all of that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Was that a deliberate thing for you? Like this whole, I'm going to make porn for the purposes of educating
people? No, not at all. Mm-hmm. It wasn't. Like, obviously, I did it because I didn't want to be lumped into that freak. I was making porn behind the scenes and I was working with a trans woman. And I saw the way that the adult industry treated and reacted to trans women porn, even though it's one of the biggest selling genres in the industry. It was still looked at as a freaky thing. And so when I had the idea to kind of do the Buck Angel thing, I thought, well, I want to do it in a really positive manner and just normal.
Yeah.
Like, it isn't like scenarios of freakiness. It's just scenarios of me meeting up with some guy and us having sex. And it's not like he's all in shock when I pull my pants down. It's all like, ooh, that's hot and let's do it kind of way. So in a way, it was intentionally educational, but I don't think I really knew that. I think it was more about me just sort of wanting to make something that hadn't been made before and doing it in a, bringing it into a positive way. But of course, through the evolution of my work, I realized, oh shoot, you know what? This is educational and it is much more than just pornography.
Yeah, sometimes I wonder how I get any work done.
Right? Watching porn.
Watching porn.
I know, I get it. I totally get it.
Bring joy to the world. Listen to us everywhere. Download the Joy smartphone app now at joy.org.au.
I'm Dr. Brooke Mignanti, formerly known as Belle du Jour, and you're listening to The Vixen Hour on Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9.
I was going to ask, so the Vixen Hour is all about sex workers busting out of the closet to set the record straight. And one of the things that we do for every person who comes on our show is we ask them, well, how did they define what sex work is? And this is a sort of a conversation that we started really early on, recognizing that if you try to define it as something, you always invariably leave someone out.
Clearly, yeah.
Yeah, so it's a bit of a tradition of, you know, what we do on our radio show is ask each person, well, what does sex work mean to you?
Right. That's a great question, actually. For me, sex work is my pornography. Mm-hmm. And so I think for me, sex work is showing my vision of positivity with a man who has a vagina. Mm-hmm. So my sex work isn't necessarily escorting work or what people would necessarily look. For me, my sex work is my film work. Mm-hmm. So that's leads into education.
Yeah.
So first and foremost, I think that my sex work is my film work. Mm-hmm. I make sex films.
Yeah, amazing. And I'm wondering if you could sort of describe, well, for you, what are sort of the things that you've gotten out of doing your work?
Yeah, wow, that's a big question because I've gotten so much out of it. But I think first is I feel so grateful for the fact that I am able to do something that I'm passionate about. Mm-hmm. And getting that out of it has been huge for me. Number one. Number two, actually getting people to love their bodies.
Yeah.
I think my work has really changed the way people's perspective and their bodies are not conforming to society's sort of rigid idea of what makes you male or female. Mm-hmm. So those two things have been really, really majorly big for me in the impact of my work on my own self and watching people say, yeah, it is okay that I don't have a penis. Mm. Or it is okay that I don't have a vagina, or it is okay that I don't conform to having sex this way, or it makes me a top if I, you know, I am a top, for a lack of a better word, and I get penetrated.
Yeah.
Where most people will tell you that, no, you're a bottom.
Yeah.
And I have to explain to people, no, I'm being serviced. Mm-hmm. It is completely different. And it's all about how but in our worlds, right, where there's a top and there's a bottom. And I think I've also questioned those sort of dynamics within sexuality. That top and bottom thing is really so rigid as well.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that's certainly come about from, like, you know, a lot of queer activism and sort of queering this idea that we operate in very binary ways, whether it's male, female, top or bottom, or whether actually these are quite fluid things. And I think the way that you've sort of presented a lot of different types of porn has also forced people to question that as well.
Right.
Particularly things like, you know, having, you know, trans male and trans females in the same scene.
Yes.
I remember watching somebody speak on your documentary about, you know, However you cut it, it's heterosexual.
Right, totally. Yeah. It's a penis going into a vagina.
Yeah, yeah. But it does force people to sort of question... Cause it's still how it was described as a mindfuck.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
And I have to... That specific scene that I did, which was the world's first ever pornographic scene between a trans male and a trans female. But that said, the cameraman during that scene, he actually stopped shooting at one point, and he was like, I just have to tell you, Buck, I've been doing this for over 30 years. And this is blowing. When I'm looking through the camera and I'm going up, I'm seeing a man. Then I'm going down and seeing a vagina. Going up and seeing a woman. I'm going down and seeing. He goes, it's just blowing my mind. It's just like such a. There's no words for it because I had never really been seen before by a lot of people. So that is also one of my. I think one of my favorite moments of my work in a sense of a, as an actor, really being able to put something out there that has just totally wrecked. What does that mean?
Yeah.
What kind of sex is that? What box? Does that go in?
Which is amazing. Amazing. And as you say, it was sort of a world first. And in 2007, you were recognized by the AVN.
Yes.
You got your AVN Award, which would have been amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. As somebody who, and I think the word pioneer gets used a lot to describe you, did you have role models as you were sort of...
No, I didn't. Yeah. And which is really weird. I've been, of course, asked that question before. And I didn't have a trans role model, that's for sure, because there really wasn't. I mean, I did my changeover 20-something years ago, and there wasn't even internet or any of that. I didn't have anybody that I could say that, I want to be like that person, other than seeing somebody in a film but not really knowing that person, but understanding that. But I didn't have somebody that I could say, I want to be like that, or I want to be influenced that way. Never was I, and I don't know if that's a bad thing or a good thing, but I knew that my film work, I did feel eventually that my film work would hopefully influence a younger generation of people, not necessarily age young, but maybe transition young, to know that I think I came out pretty good in a sense that I'm so happy.
Yeah,
I'm just a happy person. Contrary to what people will tell you, I'm a very happy person. I'm a very grateful person, and I'm a believer of giving back.
Yeah,
and so that's I think what I like for some of my work to hopefully portray is that I'm giving back.
Yeah. And that's amazing. And I think certainly it's hard to sort of track the correlation between individual acts of advocacy or awareness raising to the actual public visibility of things. But certainly when we're seeing, more and more in the community that, trans male people are becoming more and more visible, certainly in Australia, the person who brought you out here, Jez, is quite well known in the Melbourne GLBTI community. I think certainly a lot of your work has paved the way for that to happen. But I'm going to go here. Tell me if this is too confrontational.
No, you go right ahead.
So it's interesting. I mean, for somebody who, is a trailblazer, pioneer, having no one sort of to take a lead from. In a way, I kind of feel like for me, I sort of can relate to that because as, a young, not white sex worker, it was really hard to find role models. Somebody asked me once, who do you see as when you were growing up, who did you look up to as as an Asian sex worker?
Right.
And I was like, I didn't have anyone.
Right. Totally.
and kind of a lot of what we do is try to make up for that. So put together a radio show or do a little writing
so that you could be a role model to the younger generation of is that what you're saying?
It's very Gandhi, I know.
But I'm very much into that. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
I think that's brilliant, and I think it's necessary, and I think it says a lot about you as a person.
Yeah, absolutely. This whole, being the change that you want to see.
Whether it sounds corny or not, it's the truth.
Yeah.
It's the truth, and I'm not sure if you're going towards talking about community hate right now, but it kind of feels that way to me.
Yeah.
And so, yes, be the change that you want to see. Mm. And as we were having a conversation earlier about why is there this sort of hate within our own LGBTIA community that people go off on people like us who are out there really, and maybe we said something bad somewhere along the line that wasn't necessarily the right thing to say, and hopefully we apologize for that. But why why are we, in a sense, really coming down on our own communities and our community leaders and pioneers and trailblazers instead of looking outside of that? I don't understand that at all. I think that people need to understand that our actions, I can only speak for myself, my actions are only to make things better.
Yeah.
That's it. I might say something. I'm not a perfect person. Of course not. Educators are not perfect. Mm-hmm. They aren't. They learn from mistakes. A good educator learns from mistakes. And I've made many mistakes along the way. And I pretty much will probably never make those mistakes again.
Yeah.
But I've learned from those mistakes. Mm. And so that's the thing. I think the one thing that really sort of upsets me about community is how they put this sort of standard, community standard upon everybody. But we as certain people who are definitely maybe out there a little more have to really raise higher to that to that standard a lot of times. We're not allowed to make mistakes or what is with that? I don't really, it's only going to hold back our communities.
Yeah.
It's clear. You have to really be kind of not understanding if you don't believe that, but it 100% will hold back everything that we are all fighting for, which is basically the same thing, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, there are actual people who actually hate us and who actually hate our community.
Yes.
And want to hold our communities back.
So why are we after them?
Yeah. It's interesting. You said don't talk about Australian politics. But I'm going to for like 2 minutes because during the last election, and I mean, now we have a conservative right-wing government that's come in, and they sort of walked in at the last election. And for us who are sort of involved in sort of, you know, libertarian, left-wing, progressive politics here in Australia, one of the things that we spoke about is we spent way too much time fighting amongst ourselves than actually taking the Conservatives on.
Yes.
And I mean, I'm not blaming us for like the political outcome, but they won.
Totally.
For me, it was this sort of lesson around, you know, we really do have to examine how, I mean, with certainly there's a culture of calling people out that's emerged.
Right.
And sometimes, and I mean, I'm not saying that we shouldn't be critically reflective of what we do, but, you know, if we look at on measure the outcomes of those things, and you know, calling out particular things has the potential of shutting down a lot of conversation.
110%. Mm. Though I'm a big believer of calling out, but calling out should be, okay, dude, maybe you said the wrong thing. What do you feel about this? Okay, you know what? I apologize. You're right. Maybe I did. And now we need to move on.
Yeah.
But to continue, for example, something I said in 2007. Did you hear me? 2007. We are now in 2014. Continually gets brought up.
Yeah.
Which is unbelievable to me. I have apologized for it. I have agreed. It is the stupidest thing I could ever said. Blah, 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 blah. And it's not... It is so done.
Yeah.
But why does our community continue to bring that up? As if someone is not allowed to grow as an educator is ridiculous. Mm. And only hurting them. It's only hurting them because all that does for me, honestly, is it shuts me down to want to talk to my own community.
Yeah.
It makes me want to speak to the people that want to listen to me.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of people out there in the world. My community will not shut me down. It's not possible.
Mm-hmm.
I am not that kind of person. I'm obviously a survivor and somebody who knows how to find where I need to go and what I need to do.
Yeah.
And so as an activist, I think that's what an activist is.
Yeah.
You can't shut an activist down, but a true activist will continue to move forward and continue to find the thing that is passion for me.
Yeah. Well, thank you for talking about it.
Oh, sweet.
Because I mean, like, it's really easy to not talk about it.
And yeah, it is.
It's a really generous thing to be able to actually.
But that said, you and I could talk about it. But can the rest of the people out there talk about it with us?
Mm-hmm.
I hope so.
Yeah.
I don't know, because I really always open up that dialogue. But no one ever wants. You know, the internet is a creepy thing in a way, right? Because people can They can vomit on the internet.
Yeah.
But will they really engage you in a personal discussion like us?
Yeah.
Which you know damn well, I'm going to tell you right now, that they won't.
Yeah.
Which really
makes me invite them to. Like,
but why don't they?
Yeah.
That's my question. Why don't they, when they have the opportunity to? I'm hoping that you can see that I'm a person who's very rational and will talk to you about the situation. And so I don't understand why people will not engage in a dialogue when I, for one, am very open to dialogue.
Yeah.
People like to spew stuff and continue to escalate or keep that hate going, which is very sad to me.
Yeah.
Great shows, great topics, great radio. Joy 94.9.
You are listening to Joy 94.9. It is the Australia Day, Survival Day, public holiday. Hope you're having a good one. You are on the Vixen Hour here on Joy 94.9. You're with Christian, and we are listening to the chat that we had with international pioneering trans male porn performer Buck Angel. We were just talking about some of the challenges that are, you know, in the community, and right now we'll continue that conversation. You're on the Vixen Hour here on Joy 94.9.
The world's most uplifting radio station. Joy 94.9.
Well, I'm going to go to a completely other reaction
yes.
that you've had in the Australian queer media. In an interview that you had with Lottl magazine, Lesbians on the Loose, the person who wrote the article, Suze...
Oh, yeah, she's great.
Yeah, described you as a shining beacon to humanity.
Wow, that's so sweet.
What we should all aim to strive to be. And I mean, that must be extraordinarily flattering. To
say. Yeah, it is. You know, me and her, we got along instant, and we only had a Skype interview we might have, but we just blah 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 for like an hour and a half. There was like a nice connection there, and it makes me really happy when my true self can come across in an audio interview mm-hmm. like that, and that they can see that it's very true. I'm only a very positive person. I'm not mm-hmm. you know, somebody who feels like putting out hate, even though I get a lot of hate in many mm-hmm. ways. It doesn't, for me, the hate just shows that I'm doing something, right?
Yeah.
I'm pushing buttons, right?
Yeah.
And so that's a very sweet thing for somebody to say about me, and I totally appreciate that.
and I mean, like, despite that positivity, I'm going to start talking about your documentary now.
Okay.
Mr. Angel,
uh-huh.
which is fascinating and fabulous, by the way.
Thank
and I
you.
Think there's a lot of really good things, and people have the opportunity all throughout Australia to be able to view this, like, in the next sort of week. And but one of the things that sort of came out, as somebody who is described as, you know, incredibly positive, shining beacon of humanity.
I gotta remember that one.
I'll send you the article. It's intriguing. You haven't had the easiest of times or the easiest journey.
No, far from it.
Yeah.
Yes.
And do you think a lot of, I guess, positive energy that you exude now comes from sort of a more difficult journey, if you like?
Oh, 100%. Most definitely. I actually value my horrible things that happen to me. I mean, of course you can't do it when you're in it,
mm-hmm.
but you know, through the growth of wanting to be a good person and understanding that those negative things mm-hmm. you can turn into a positive thing, I have.
Yeah.
So where I came from, all of the street stuff, the coke, the drug, you know, all of the drunkenness, the suicidal attempts, the self-hate of cutting, all of those things have only made me a better person
mm-hmm.
because, and also have really made me want to help other people
mm-hmm.
because I am a grateful person. I
yeah.
mean, I'm in Australia. I travel the world. I get to do what I want to do. Like,
yeah.
who comes from literally living on the street to that?
Yeah.
And I really feel very blessed. Sometimes I don't know how I got here.
Yeah.
I really don't know how I got here.
Yeah.
But, like, there's a reason. I also am a believer of, you know, you're put in those things for a reason. I believe
yeah.
that. I know it sounds very cheesy and corny, but it's really true. Like, there's a reason I really feel like I'm supposed to be doing this.
Mm-hmm.
And so that passion for what I have to do really is like, so that negative part of my life has really been a positive part of who I am today, for
yeah.
sure.
Yeah, but absolutely. And I think, like, I mean, we speak often here on the Vixen Hour about, you know, we can only sort of challenge a lot of things like stigma and discrimination by
yes.
sharing our story.
Yes,
and
yes.
I think your documentary does that and challenges. Again, it's not just about being trans. There's a whole range of stigmas that
yes.
you've challenged in your documentary. I'm wondering, was it an extraordinarily hard story to tell for you?
Oh yeah. You know, when we first doing the movie, I didn't want to talk about my family, and I didn't want to talk so much about my private personal life. I want to just talk about my pornography work, because that was really what I was the most passionate. We started filming that 7 years ago.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not been longer, but it took about 6 or 7 years to film that.
Mm-hmm.
So in the beginning, I really didn't want... I wanted it just to be about my porn work. But through the evolution of the film and me as a person and me as a pornographer and then me as an educator and a speaker, obviously it was inevitable. We had to bring that into the documentary. And then I
yeah.
just realized, you know, my family is amazing.
Yeah.
And I am very lucky to have a family that accepts me for who I am and what. And so I thought, you know, it's really important that my family talk on this documentary because somebody else's family is going to see this. Somebody else's mother or father is going through the exact same thing, I guarantee you.
Yeah.
The exact same thing. And we'll see how my parents, who are conservative, Republican, you know, like just everything far from what I am, you know what I mean, have accepted their transsexual son.
Yeah.
And so, who's a pornographer. Could it be any worse? Who has a vagina?
Amazing. Right?
It's like my dad's just like, Bo is my son. Like, it's just like, really? That's incredible.
Which is fantastic. And I think because people talk about, you know, it's great if you're privileged with a supportive family.
Of course.
But like, I think watching the documentary, it's not like you were given that straight away.
Not at all. And I understand the privilege. I completely understand that. You know, I'm white. I come in a different situation. But we're not talking about that part of my life and that story. We aren't. We're talking about just humanity.
Yeah.
We're talking about gender and sexuality and talking about, I struggle just like everybody else. Not struggle financially or in those situations, but I struggle mentally as much as everybody else in trying to figure out who I was. That's what my story is about. It's not necessarily about being a privileged white person in the world. Of course, I completely understand that and understand that more now today, being a white man. And that it is a lot easier for me to navigate through the world. And that is one of the other things I would like to be able to use my privilege to help other people who don't have the same privilege as myself.
Yeah, your family are incredible. Like, if you anyone who watches your documentary, I think they play almost as active a role in the documentary as you do.
I agree with you. Thanks for saying that. And you know, I haven't had them see it yet, just because my dad is very macho, and I think if he sees himself cry on a movie that's been shown all around the world, he might freak out.
Yeah.
He might freak out totally and not be comfortable with it. So I have really not really made an effort to let them see that. But most definitely, thank you for saying that. I think my family, my parents and my sister, really, it takes a lot to, they love me. To be able to go onto a movie that's going to be shown around the world, it takes a lot for somebody to do that.
Yeah. And I think your sister described really succinctly that it wasn't just the stigma of you being trans, but you also being in porn.
Yes.
So it was kind of dealing with those two things at the same time.
Yes.
Which I'm kind of guessing you didn't really think that was going to happen.
What, that I was going to be in porn?
Yeah.
Oh, no, not at all. I had no idea I was going to... That was not... Some people think, did you transition to become a porn star?
Yeah.
Really? Did you just ask me that? Is that like a real question?
Yeah.
So, yeah, of course not. I had no idea I was going to become in porn. And, of course, it took a while for me to kind of come out to my parents about being a pornographer, because there's a lot of stigma around that. But, you know, through the growth of myself and my work and understanding that I really feel passionate about my work and that it's very positive, eventually I told my parents and they were like, oh, okay. They've been through so much with me that doing porn was like, who cares? We don't really care.
I can sort of relate to that. I came out to my mum, and I knew coming out to my mum was like coming out to my dad, because she would have this conversation after. I didn't have to do it the FaceTime.
Right.
Also, I told myself. And she, you know, pulled out all the stereotypes. Oh, it's just a phase, blah, blah, blah. And did all of those, you know, it was hard for her kind of thing. And I, you know, we worked through that. And it was a bit hard because I didn't really have the best relationship with them.
Right.
But then when I came out as a sex worker, and the only reason I came out as a sex worker was, I was about to run in an election as a sex worker.
Oh, wow.
And I didn't want her to find out via the newspaper.
Of course.
Right. So when I told her that's what I did, she was like, you're a grown-up. You make grown-up decisions.
Amazing.
Her reaction was infinitely
amazing.
A lot more graceful than when I came out as gay.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, it's hilarious.
I think it's because... Same with me. And I think it's because they already went through all of that with us.
Yeah.
And also, you're, you know, passionate about what you do. You're great. I, from the energy I get from you, you're just totally focused. And they're like... What? It's not like you're like, you know, going and selling crack on the corner.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, Mom, guess what? I'm a crack dealer.
They probably would have said the same thing anyway. that was a really interesting moment. It was something that I sort of was like, wow, your parents are really great, and then it made me think of my parents.
Oh, that's so awesome.
Great too.
Stage, sci-fi, spirituality, and sex. Where else but Joy 94.9?
A voice for sex workers. The Vixen Hour. On Joy 94.9.
You are on the Vixen Hour here on Joy 94.9. You're with Christian, and we are listening to our chat with Buck Angel. We're just going to go to the last part of our conversation now, and we're actually going to talk about porn and sex. Yay! Awesome. You're on the Vixen Hour here on Joy 94.9.
Joy!
I did want to talk about porn.
Ah, of course.
Because, you know.
It's a sex show.
Yeah, exactly. I wanted to talk about sex workers. You won an AVN. Mm-hmm. You've shot with... Would it be fair to say that you've shot with mainstream gay...
Yes. Porn? Titan yep. is probably one of the biggest studios in gay mainstream porn, mm-hmm. for sure, yeah.
Yeah, was it hard to sort of pitch the idea of you as a performer in a mainstream...
They came to me.
Oh, wow.
They came to me, which is even better, right? Yeah. They actually came to me, and I was kind of shocked. I'm like, really? You want me to be in one of your movies? Oh, I was blown away.
Yeah.
Of course, I was just like, whoa, this is going to be so... I mean, it's so progressive of them to do that. And there's never been any other trans man performer since I did that, I think in 2007, Cirque Noir, ever in another gay porn since then. And that's gone on to become really very, I don't, cult is probably the wrong word to use, but a very specific kind of porn in the history of porn.
It was a moment in porn history.
Yes, it stands alone for sure to be that.
So I'm really curious around how do you get to that stage where a mainstream porn studio is asking you to challenge a boundary, really?
Yes, to challenge it. Yes, I think that's a great question, and I probably can't really answer it, but I can tell you that I think I was really putting myself out there, mm-hmm. because people, you don't challenge me. That's the thing that will always make me come back at you like crazy. Mm. So people were challenging me in the industry and saying, oh, what you do is gross, blah, 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 blah. There's no way gay men are into your porn. And I challenged that. I said, you want to see? And I just put out more gay porn. I put out more scenes with me and men, and I just started really challenging that whole, what does it mean to be gay? Mm-hmm. If you have sex with Buck, are you still gay?
Yeah.
And I challenged that, and I think Titan was aware of that. You know, mm-hmm. my movies started to get nominated for the Gavian Awards.
Yeah, yeah.
Which was also, people started noticing me in the gay porn industry, because who's this Buck Angel guy? What's this, not gay porn?
Yeah, yeah.
I was challenging what is gay porn.
Yeah.
So I think Titan saw that as a opportunity to sort of maybe challenge it on their, from their perspective, which is very ballsy of them to do that. Yes.
Yeah. Amazing. Absolutely amazing.
It is pretty awesome.
And I'm asking, I guess, I'm trying to not be pervy about this question.
No, be pervy. Yeah.
But other performers, so presumably, like, Titan's a bit of mainstream gay. Uh-huh. Studio, we're talking about performers who'd only ever worked with other men. What was it like introducing the concept of, you know, penis and vagina sex?
Great question. And actually, the two performers that I performed were they consider themselves bisexual. Uh-huh. So I think it was very smart of them to cast two guys that are bisexual. Obviously, they won't have a problem with a vagina because mm-hmm. they've had vagina before. But so that said, we went on set and we just all had such great sexual energy.
Yeah,
we just really got along with each other. They didn't have any issues. They were like ready to, like, you know, do that vagina. And we had I don't know if you've seen the scene, but we just had a great time in there, and it was real sex. I mean, it wasn't ever sort of forced or uncomfortable, or like this guy couldn't keep a hard on. Mm-hmm. The whole scene, everything was just very smooth and awesome.
Yeah. So introducing the concept of, you know, sex with a vagina,
right.
is sort of a focus of some of the work that you do at the moment. So just moving into sort of talking about your advocacy stuff, is it a huge challenge to introduce that concept, particularly to GLB, to, you know, gay identifying?
Of course. It's a huge... Because we all kind of have this understanding that a man has a penis and a woman has a vagina. And then here I'm coming saying, well, actually, men have vaginas and we like to have our vaginas. I don't know. Is this graphic?
No, go for it.
We like to have our vaginas fucked. And it's not really something that makes you any less of a man, or even if you're a, you know, cisgender gay man, it doesn't make you any less gay.
Yeah.
You know, because the vagina is now attached to a man.
Yeah.
And you have to know you're being sexually stimulated because of my masculinity, not because my vagina.
Yeah.
So it's been a concept that I've really had to sort of take people by the hand and sort of lead them along and say, it's okay.
Yeah.
It doesn't, because they're questioning their own sexuality.
Yeah.
People from all sides, not just gay men, some, you know, women, gay women are attracted to me, or straight women are attracted to me, or even straight men attracted to me. Mm-hmm. It questions, what does that mean?
Yeah.
Now where does my sexuality fall? And so I've been able to sort of teach people that sexuality is so fluid.
Yeah.
I'm a huge believer of that. You know, the identification, you can still identify as gay and want to have sex with me, and doesn't not make you any less gay. Or you can even identify as a straight woman or a gay woman and want to have sex with me.
Yeah.
It's that I'm a big believer of being attracted to people.
Yeah.
And not being attracted to gender.
Yeah.
Even though I identify as a man and I am very male, I think. It's not even about that. It's just being attracted to energy. So that's something that's been really awesome for me, to be able to sort of break down that what does it make me question. Yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. Everyone is always so concerned of their identity as gay.
Yeah.
And I'm attracted to this thing, this trans man.
Yeah.
Now what am I? It's so fascinating to me that, you know, it's so powerful, your identity, that I can sort of make you re-question that, and then it makes you feel uncomfortable.
Yeah. Buck Angel will fit in whatever box.
Totally. Right on.
Which is amazing, because you do things like, you have a dating site, and I mean, and part of your tour at the moment is, you know, creating social, like, opportunities for people to interact and meet and
talk,
all that kind of stuff.
And to feel comfortable with that. We have an actual sex night that we're doing for cis gay men and trans men, you know, who identify as gay, because that's a whole other situation that is not easy for both sides to kind of understand how to navigate that. How we navigate it is just sex.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be uncomfortable.
Yeah.
If you find that guy who's a trans man hot, start making out with them.
Yeah.
And then see how that leads. It's really not, you don't necessarily have to fuck. There's a lot of other things to do.
Yeah. It's like, we've been doing this for years.
Exactly, guys. It's not that difficult, really.
Amazing. So you are in Australia doing a series of speaking events, and you've got the Safe and Strong event, which is a sort of a community event for trans people.
Yeah, and introducing about how to, you know, sort of a lot about safe sex in our bodies and how to navigate our bodies and how to feel comfortable navigating our bodies and how to talk to people about our bodies. And really, first and foremost, for me, it's always about loving your body first.
Yeah.
And masturbation is a big thing for me. Mm-hmm. And I learned how to love my body through masturbation and, you know, jacking off and fucking myself and really just learning my own body before I kind of took it to the level of other people wanting to have sex with my body.
Yeah.
Because when you know how to do your own body and become comfortable, you are going to have a much better sex life.
Yeah.
And so, you know, really learning, if you have a vagina still, learning how to say, oh, it's okay that I have a vagina. You don't have to call it a vagina. You don't have to call it a pussy. You can call it your cock. You can call it whatever the fuck you want to call it.
Yeah.
You know, that's just what I call it, my pussy, because I'm just comfortable with that.
Yeah.
But, you know, that said, you don't have, but I really want guys to understand that by cutting yourself off there and not really, really understanding that having, you know, sex is a huge part of being a person. I believe that.
Yeah.
When you shut down your sexuality and your physical sex, I don't think that you're really coming to terms with who you are. I think you're really pushing away from, and you're never going to be a whole person by doing that.
Yeah. No, I absolutely. And I think certainly a lot of sex workers have done that. Like, you know, just a lot of the work that we do with our clients is accepting whatever body you have. And it's quite often a lot of the work that sex workers do isn't focused so much around genital. Although, you know, as somebody who sees clients with, like, erectile dysfunction stuff, you know, it is about sort of, well, that kind of doesn't matter. We can still have sex.
Exactly.
And it's not about, you know, and also things like, you know, within a society that constantly fat shames people.
Oh, God, totally.
So, you know, it's and it's still like, well, I'm acknowledging that, you know, whatever size you come in, you're still a sexual being, and I'm still accessible to those people.
And you have a man, and you're a man with a vagina, you're still a sexual being. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean that you need to be shut down around the fact that you are still have this part that you consider female. Getting your head around that is really, really important.
Yeah.
And it's not female anymore once it's on your male body.
Yeah. Yeah.
You have to understand that. It is no longer a female vagina. It is now a male vagina. Mm-hmm. And by learning how to love that part of your body, I swear to God, it changed everything for me.
Yeah.
Getting my top surgery, you know, doing hormones, all of that was great. But until I really came to terms with my vagina, my life was not whole.
Yeah.
And now it's, for lack of a better word, then it was like, whoa, my whole world, everything about my life, when I have, you know, sex partners now, it's like amazing because I'm just so free with that. And, and on the other side, sex partners really love it too.
Yeah.
Because I'm so free and they're just, you know, having this engagement with me that's not inhibited or like, no, you can't touch that, or it's just like, wow, free for all.
Yeah, amazing. It's been absolutely fabulous to speak to you, Black Angel.
Thank you.
So if people want to find out more about you, get to know you a little bit more, you've got a website, you've got
buckangel.com is the site that'll basically take you to all the rest of my websites. Facebook, Twitter, Facebook Buck Angel, Twitter Buck Angel, Instagram Buck Angel, everything. I have everything Buck Angel.
Amazing.
Google Buck Angel.
And you're on you're doing a series of events all throughout the week.
Yes.
All around the country. We'll post links to those on our Facebook page. That's amazing. You've been on the Vixen Hour here on Joy 94.9.
You're listening to the Vixen Hour on Joy 94.9.
You are on the Vixen Hour here on Joy 94.9. It is 2:02. Thank you to Buck Angel for joining me earlier today and me being able to bring his words to you. If you would like to see some of the events and get to know Buck Angel a little bit more, you can go to his website, but also he is on a bit of a tour around Australia. There are a number of events later in the week, first one being on Friday the 31st of January, and that is the Australian premiere of Mr. Angel, and that will be followed by a Q&A with Buck Angel, and I will be hosting that event. So it would be great to see you there. Doors open at 7 p.m. Film starts at 8. For more information, you can go to getbuckedaustralia.com. You've been on the Vixen Hour here on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.